There is so much to talk about. Yo, what is up, guys? It is CRPHD, and welcome back to the second episode of the Plug and Play podcast. Super excited that you guys could be here today. We got a fun episode to go over, and it's going to be involving an event that happened around 2 months ago, and it is the Drake concert. I just want to talk about it, a few things just regarding how the event went, and as well as just talk about the For All the Dogs album, because I know that, you know, that was a super highly anticipated album that kind of has mixed emotions, and just want to give you my personal thoughts and take on it, and, you know, just kind of go from there. Let's see where it takes us. So just to start off, I want to say thank you to my homeboy Jamel, because to be honest, like, he went out of his way with this one. He surprised me with the tickets. And I just want to say I'm super grateful that we got to go see Drake in person together. That was something that I will remember for the rest of my life, because as you guys know, Drake is my favorite artist of all time. And just super grateful, dog. Really appreciate it. So just starting off, venue and atmosphere. So we got to go see Drake perform at the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. He changed up some of the dates, and by the time we had already like purchased the tickets, like I said, he changed the date around and he ended up performing in Austin. But the fact that we still got to go to Houston just kind of added like a little mini trip, so that was super cool. But yeah, we got standard seats. I want to say maybe on like the second or third row, kind of like looking down into the concert. He got the tickets, I believe, during like pre-sale, so that's like when they first become available, and he wanted to get a great deal, so I don't blame him. But yeah, I mean, seeing Drake is still seeing Drake. So just starting off, we got to the Toyota Center like, you know, early, but probably not as early as we should have been there, because the lines were still huge. I know people were sleeping out for some of these concerts, so I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people obviously did the same thing there in Houston. So crowd energy, honestly unbelievable, and just made the overall experience better, because you have all these people there that essentially, you know, you can relate with, because this is your favorite artist. Everyone was super into it. Everyone knew all the lyrics. People are jumping up and down, dancing, dropping their drinks, you know, trying to get their video. I did have this one lady in particular that was standing right next to me, and whenever, you know, the music started playing for Sicko Mode, oh my goodness, she was like jumping up and down and like smashed my foot. I don't even know if she noticed, to be honest, but I mean, I can't blame her. So now Drake didn't come out as soon as we got there. It honestly took him a little while. They had a DJ playing like just random, you know, music to try and, you know, at least get the crowd going, excited a little bit. Jamel definitely wasn't feeling it. I think they started playing like Party in the USA and, you know, all these other songs. It just really wasn't hitting. You know, we're there to see Drake. But shortly after that, Central C opened up, so that was pretty cool. I'm not super familiar with his music, I'm not even gonna front, but I mean, he still did a great job, at least with, you know, getting the audience excited, you know, engaged, just because, you know, you got a live performer down there that you don't see every day, and he did a great job. So I want to say it was about another 25-30 minutes before Drake even got on stage after Central C had performed. But some music started playing, and then he slowly worked his way down from, I want to say, like the second level of the stands. And, you know, it was fist bumping, high-fiving people. And they kind of had like him, you know, just working his way down on the screen. It was super cool. Made his way to the stage. Did like his usual, you know, just thank you for being here, let's have a good time, let's turn up. And he specifically said, you know, usually I will come out and, you know, get y'all turned up with the latest and greatest, but this tonight is for my day ones in the H-Town. And suddenly a little bit later, all the lights just started to dim, and then you hear that Marvin's Room music start playing, and then everyone went nuts. Like, Jamel went crazy, like everyone just got super into it. Man, I would give like anything just to get that moment back. It was something that I'll never forget. But yeah, he sung Marvin's Room, he sung Over, Hell Yeah, Effing Right, Headlines, Motto, Sicko Mode, like the whole ordeal. Those are just a few songs. He also played some of his new stuff, but man, like, at least that opening moment was pressure. It was so, so fun. Now, discussing some of the visuals and production aspect, where we were sitting in particular, we were kind of like, so the stage, or like the arena at least, I want to say, is more like an oval, and we were on like the corner parts of the oval looking down, if that makes sense. And they had these, you know, beams with all these different lighting fixtures supporting all this different stuff. And throughout the show, like, they had like a UFO flying around. They had these big old super high powered lasers going around, getting all these different cool effects. They also had like this huge blow up girl doll thingy that made its way to the stage, and all this stuff is moving around on these contraptions, on all these beams, I guess, to put all this stuff in place. And I don't know how they're getting all this stuff like prepped. A, there's all these people that got floor tickets that are just flooded around them, and then B, there's not a whole bunch of space to really like inflate this stuff or like to swap it out, at least that I'm aware of. But I mean, it was dark, so, and I'm sure that they had a plan going into it, obviously. But I mean, the way that they just had all these different lighting effects, all these different props floating around, it was just made the event even more immersive. But that was definitely something that I wanted to point out in case y'all missed it in the video, because I did like include like that blow up doll somewhere in the video, kind of somewhere where he was performing. But yeah, pretty cool. So I have two highlights from the show. The first one is definitely going to be whenever Drake and 21 Savage got to perform Spin About You live. That was my favorite song on the Her Loss album. So just being able to see that all play out in real time with my favorite artist, I wouldn't trade it for the world. The crazy thing about that was, it was towards the end of the show. Not only was my phone getting close to dying, but I was also like basically out of storage on my phone. So I had to delete like a lot of apps and then re-download them after the show once I got all the video imported onto my computer. But that in itself was a hassle, just because, you know, I'm having to go through, delete all these different files because I'm trying to make it to this song. I had a feeling that he was going to perform it, but there was no guarantees. But I'm just happy that that was all able to work out. And then my second highlight would definitely be just when Drake was checking on everyone, you know, spreading some positivity, telling some jokes. He made everyone, you know, look to the left and look to the right of where you're sitting, check on that person, you know, make sure they're doing good, give them a high five, and, you know, of course, just make sure they're having a great time enjoying the show. He also gave away a few items, one to this lady in particular that was holding up a sign that said, like, I had to wax X amount of the P word to be able to afford these tickets. And he was like, girl, like, you have to do that and you walking around with no Chanel bag? So then he told like so-and-so to bring him the Chanel bag, and he was like, and he gave it to her, and he was like, yeah, you know, you deserve this, can't be walking around with no Chanel, girl. So that was super fun to see. There was also just some other people on the floor that was just turning up whenever he was performing, that he just was like, you know, like, I mess with you, I like your energy, get this man whatever he wants tonight. So that was just super fun to see as well. He did that, you know, periodically throughout the night. So it wasn't just that one that one lady in particular. So great time. Love to see that stuff, especially from your favorite artist. But then later in the night, 21 Savage finally came out. It seemed like forever, to be honest. I don't know what took so long. I don't know if that was just part of the plan, just to, you know, build up that anticipation, because I know that there are big or just huge 21 Savage fans that, you know, came to see him perform, and, you know, everyone's just kind of like, where is he at? But he came out, he did some of his solo performances as well. Those were all great. And then him and Drake also did some songs from the Her Loss album. So, you know, like I said, Spin About You was definitely one of them, and my favorite, of course. And, you know, it was just super fun to see them both bouncing around on stage, doing the thing, going crazy. And yeah. Another thing that I just wanted to point out that I was pretty impressed with was just the outfit changes and how quick they were able to do them. Like, it didn't even seem like he was gone, like, at all, but he just, you know, when a new song came on, suddenly had a change of clothes. Don't really know how that worked, if there was a platform when it got dark or whatever it might have been, but that was super cool and something that I find real interesting, because me personally, a little quick backstory, I did theater, and that is not something that I was able to do quick, at least. Like, it took me a few minutes, but like I said, lights went off, lights came back on. Seems like he magically had a new outfit. Don't know how he did it, but super cool to see. So just towards the end of the show, of course, you know, he thanked everyone for spending their hard-earned money to come out and watch him perform, and that he really appreciated it because H-Town, Houston in particular, just had a huge impact on, you know, just his career development as a whole, and that he was extremely thankful and couldn't do anything to, like, repay back his gratitude, I believe. During the middle of the show in particular, he also just stated that he wanted this to be a safe space. Anything that you may be going through that may be stressing you out, an argument, work, whatever it may be, his goal was just to kind of guide you through the night and, you know, let you be free and, you know, have a great time, have fun, let loose. And I believe he definitely did a great job of that. Like, he took some shots, cheers with the audience, and yeah, but leading back towards the end, bouncing back and forth here, he definitely left everyone with a great message. He, of course, just put everyone on notice, just saying, you know, of course, there's more to life. Set goals, accomplish those goals, and just overall strive to be a better person, grind, work hard. And I just think he left a great message for everyone leaving, you know, going back to whatever it is that they may be, whether that's going home to your multi-million dollar crib, or, you know, going back to your work, for example. You never know. Some people might have work after the show. So I think everyone just left with the positive message. And I'm just really happy he did that. So post-concert reflections, I can't say that I've ever been to another concert, at least to my knowledge, that I can remember. And then not only was this my favorite artist performing, I don't know if anything else can ever top it. Because A, it was great. Fans were engaged. Songs were gas. Lighting and visual effects, props were top notch. Also being with my favorite artist on top of it. And 21 Savage. While 21 isn't my favorite, he's definitely up there. I love listening to his music. So yeah, post-concert reflection, it definitely met all of my expectations. Couldn't ask for more. And that's why in particular that I wanted to document this whole event, just because you don't have a whole bunch of moments in life to where you were just like at the pinnacle of happiness like that, at least to that magnitude. Of course, you're happy, but something to that magnitude, like with everything that's going on, it doesn't happen like every day. So I want to be able to have, you know, an opportunity to be able to go back and look at those things. And of course, pictures are cool. Those do justice, but just a whole video documenting essentially almost from start to finish, it don't get no better than that. So that's why I wanted to do what I did. So tips that I have for people going into future concerts. So like I said, the lines were pretty long for the Drake concert, and it made it even longer because by the time we got to where we needed to show our tickets, apparently we didn't have this app or whatever that we were supposed to be using, but the way Jamel purchased the tickets was like a little bit confusing, and essentially we had to wrap back around, wait in line again, and figure out what we needed to get and do in order to be able to get in. So definitely have your tickets ready to go. That is my first and only suggestion. Everything else, y'all got it. Y'all can figure it out. But yeah, that was the Drake concert. Not necessarily in a nutshell, but, you know, just some of the things that I wanted to elaborate a little bit further on. But the next thing that we're going to jump into is the For All the Dogs album, because that definitely has some mixed emotions regarding, you know, all of Drake's fans. And I can understand why. I definitely feel like the title is a little bit misleading, but let me explain. Whenever you hear the words "for all the dogs," you know, you're thinking, or at least the way that I'm assuming that other people thought, you know, this is more amped up, more hype music, right? But that's not what we got. We got, of course, hyped up music, of course, first person shooter, Daylight. There's a whole bunch of songs on there that, you know, you can get down and bump to like that. But you got those other songs on the album that aren't bad by any means. But I just felt like I said, the title may have misleaded you a little bit when you initially heard it. And some of those songs, you know, Polar Opposites, you know, that song with SZA. Like, those songs, let's be real, ain't quite doggish in the way that you would be thinking. Now, my take on this, whenever it comes to the way that I sat back and, you know, just kind of let it marinate a little bit, was that when it says "for all the dogs," I'm thinking more all-inclusive. So, you know, all the dogs, all the homies, all the fans, there's a song for everyone on there. Of course, you know, you got your hype songs for those dogs, and then you may got your, you know, more laid back, a little bit of R&B for those dogs. Then you may got your club music, like that Sexy Red song that was on there that I know a lot of people was just kind of like, what the F, like, what is this? I think there's a time and place for that in a club, you know, dancing, you know, at least for the ladies. Like, I feel like for those dogs, you know what I'm saying? So that's my take on it, at least. I wanted to just put that out there just because I know, like, people kind of like, this is trash, this ain't hard, all that. But that's at least the way that I'm thinking of it, or the way that I at least see it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I think it's more of like all-inclusive for all the dogs. There's a song for everyone, just to put it like that. Then Drake released that EP a little bit shortly afterwards. I felt like he might have heard some of the criticism that he was getting from the album and just still wanted to let everyone know, like, hey, I still got it. Because some of the criticism, at least from the For All the Dogs album, was just like, these are just so, like, these lyrics are so basic. They're, like, so watered down. There's not a whole bunch of deeper meaning to it, which I don't necessarily agree with, but of course, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But I definitely feel like that EP, especially The Shoe Fits, oh yeah, I feel like he definitely was able to hop on a flow, kind of, you know, go a little bit deeper with his lyrics and just show people essentially that he still has it. Now, if we're going to keep seeing this type of music on a regular basis, who knows? But he still definitely does have it, in my opinion. If you haven't heard it, I highly suggest that you should go and listen to it. But that is it for this episode, guys. Super glad we got to touch on and elaborate with a little bit more regarding on how the show went, the atmosphere, some of the opening acts, visuals and production, personal highlights, and just essentially how the crowd and fan community made the concert that much better. And of course, being able to give my personal take on the For All the Dogs album after letting it marinate for a little bit of time, and then finishing off with the EP and how at least it showed me that Drake indeed still does have it. Thank you guys, of course, for tuning in and staying till the end of the video. Be sure and stay tuned because the next episode is right around the corner. Peace.